in prison has said that indeed he is confident that the story of her coercion will be proven. Peter Madden is that solicitor, and he's available to speak to us from Madden, Finucane and Solicitors. He's back now in Northern Ireland. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Peter, you obviously have been to Peru. We've seen you on the TV a number of times. You've been talking to Michaela McCollum. First of all, as a young woman, how is she?
Well, at the moment, she's in prison in Lima. She's together with Melissa, the Scottish girl. They're both together. They're the only foreigners in the prison, so they're finding it difficult to understand, obviously. They don't have any Spanish. They don't understand the instructions or the signs. She's pretty worried about the future. She's in an area in the prison at the moment for assessment, and then she'll be moved. They'll actually both be moved to a part of the prison to where they will be held until the trial, until the case concludes.
We see both of them pop up on TV quite a bit, not as much maybe in the last 24 hours as in the week that went before. Even this example of, you know, two kids somewhere in England dressing up as them in a fancy dress competition. Michaela and Melissa seem to be quite close, but is there any suggestion at all that an edginess will grow between them, or, you know, one story will contradict the other story?
Well, there's no suggestion of that at the moment. I mean, they didn't know each other before this happened, but they have become best friends, really, since they've been together now for nearly 3 weeks in the holding centre in downtown Lima. There's no suggestion that there's going to be any difference. And, in fact, they were both questioned by the police, both given lengthy interviews separately. And they both gave versions of what happened to them, and it was different for both of them. They were both held separately at the start, but as the instructions were given to them after threats were made, they were together. They were arrested together, and they have been together ever since that. So they've become best friends and support each other in the situation that they're in.
Yes, just for anyone who isn't fully across it, when did Melissa and Michaela meet? When do they argue they met, and what's their defence?
They met in Palma, Mallorca, where Melissa had been taken, first of all, and then she was brought to the airport by a man, and they both went to the airport, and then Michaela flew in from Ibiza, and she was met at the airport by Melissa, who she didn't know before, and when they got talking, they realised that the same thing had happened to both of them. They were then taken to a house in Palma and held for about 4 days. There were four men and a woman. The men had guns, and the guns were flaunted around the place. They were banged onto the table, and it was made very clear to them that they would be hurt if they didn't follow the instructions. So they didn't know each other before this. That's how they met. And, you know, they're now in the prison together. Hopefully that they will stay together, because they are a support for each other within that really an alien environment.
You'll understand that everyone here would like to see them returned home. Everyone would like to see it undone, and everyone would like to see happiness for both families. But a significant number of people are saying that, well, they were at the airport with drugs, and if they had been at, say, Belfast International Airport with £1.5 million worth of drugs, there would have been absolutely zero sympathy for them.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, they certainly had the drugs in the suitcase, and there is no sympathy, I think, for anybody who is involved in drug smuggling. But this is a different situation. These are not drug smugglers. These are two young girls who were coerced into actually carrying out this transaction, if you like, if you call it a transaction. But it seems to be part. There's a theory that it was part of a major shipment of drugs from Lima. In which this, although it's a sizable amount of drugs, it certainly wouldn't be the biggest shipment that was ever seized. And there's a suggestion that possibly they were set up in some way, and that a bigger shipment had actually been going out at the time, and that this and they were a diversion, and that the police were concentrating on the two girls, whereas a major and bigger shipment was actually on its way out of the airport. So there's a suggestion that that was the case, and apparently it happened on previous occasions.
They are, of course, innocent until proven guilty, and it's part of your job now, Peter, to try and prove their innocence. Is that a particularly difficult thing to do long distance?
Well, it's a difficult thing to do at any time, long distance or short distance. You're right. I mean, the Peruvian system, just like our own, is that there's people are innocent until proven guilty. And so sometimes it's difficult to prove that you're innocent. But there are certain aspects of this case, I think, where there is corroboration, and we would have to try and see if we can get that investigated by the police. The investigation itself was taken over by a judge now, and a judge, an investigative judge, really deals with the case now and directs police in certain areas to carry out various inquiries from now on. And we would hope that we could be suggesting ways of doing that, of widening the investigation to try and, to try and prove that they're innocent and that they were coerced.
In the meantime, they're going to have to stay in prison, and in a prison situation like you've described that is less than welcoming.
Yes, well, whether or not, whether or not anybody ultimately, you know, as I say, pleads guilty or contests the case, whether or not, whatever happens there, the people in charge with these type of offences are held in custody until the trial. The difficulty that Michaela has at the moment is that the system favours people who accept responsibility for the crime, as they call it there, and the system favours that, as opposed to somebody who fights the case. Somebody who contests and tries to protest their innocence at a trial would have to wait for over 2 years to get that trial, and if convicted, could serve no less than 9 years in prison. Whereas if somebody then accepts their responsibility, not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily a plea of guilty, but if you accept responsibility in some way for the crime, then there's a dramatic decrease in the number of years served, maybe as much as 2 years. If a new law that's going through the Peruvian Congress at the moment comes through and is passed, it could be 2 years as opposed to 9 years or more.
Are you advising her to accept responsibility?
No, I'm not advising her to accept responsibility at all. She has made the case that she was coerced and that she was under threat throughout, and both girls have said that. But there will come a time in the near future where they will have to make a decision as to which way they go, as to whether or not they do accept responsibility, or whether or not they go the whole way to a trial. That time hasn't been reached yet, but it should be, you know, within a few weeks they will have to make that decision.
One final question, Peter. We see Michaela and Melissa as well, but particularly Michaela on our TV screens. She always seems to be smiling or shaking hands with people, or a little bit distant from what's going on. Is she fully aware of the difficulty she's in?
Well, first of all, she's very nervous. And when she is in a nervous situation, she laughs. I mean, there are many people in that position. At the time that the time that she was actually arrested, there was a sense of relief, and that they thought that they would be, you know, that once they told their story to the police, once they told the police what happened, they would be released very quickly. And in the early stages, they thought that this is just a matter of, you know, telling the police what happened, and then, you know, they would be released, and the people would be investigated. The people who threatened them would be investigated. But what happened really was at the airport, the police didn't have English. They had no interpreter. They didn't have any Spanish. They tried to explain the situation at the airport as to what happened, but they weren't able to get their story across as to what happened. So, I mean, you're right about that, but, you know, it's not as if, you know, she's, you know, treating the whole matter, you know, as a joke. You know, that is not the case. They're both treating it very seriously. They now realise the serious situation that they're in, they've had the benefit of the legal advice as to what they face. They've got the prison conditions to deal with now. The food is very poor, poor quality, and they have to pay for it. And if they want better quality food, they have to pay more. They have to pay for everything within the prison. They will face the legal process. It's very daunting for them. They're learning as they go along, but they, you know, they're both fairly resilient. They're depending on each other. They're both together, and hopefully that they will stay together. They won't be separated.
Peter, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.
Okay, Frank.
Peter Madden with that challenging issue there, representing Michaela McCollum down in Peru. Peter Madden from Madden Finucane Solicitors. It's gone 5 to 11.